Happy Friday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. I know it's a hectic time of the year, so thanks for tuning in wherever you are in the world, whatever you're doing. Get ready to get trapped in fantasy land with us. We're going to take a virtual trip to the Magic Kingdom today, so stand by for that. It's going to be lots of fun, maybe a distraction from all the hectic times that you have going on in your life. First, a quick word from our sponsor, and that's our friends over at The Magic for Less Travel, a platinum earmarked agency, which means they are one of the best of the best. So when it comes time for that next Disney vacation, and there's still time to put a Disney vacation under that tree, this is a great gift for the procrastinator and somebody who wants to make this a Christmas that will go down for the ages. The kids will be talking about this one to their kids decades from now. Just drop me a note over at themagicforless.com. You can just let them know you heard about them here on the Be Our Guest podcast. You and I will be planning a great Disney vacation for here still in 2018. There's a few weeks left, but also 2019. What a year it's going to be at Walt Disney World. Also, if you're a Star Wars fan, book that package now because things are going quick in late 2019. So check them out today over at themagicforless.com. Let them know you heard about them here on the Be Our Guest podcast. Still some great deals going on over at Amazon. Please click through our Amazon affiliate link. It's brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Amazon will give us a small commission on all purchases, and it really does help support the show. It goes to our hosting and bandwidth costs, and I truly appreciate it every time you do that. So again, as you do that holiday shopping, please click through our Amazon affiliate link. It's at brguestpodcast.com/Amazon.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1420 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Friday to you. You made it. Yes, it's the weekend. It's probably going to be a busy one. So many holiday things happening around the country, around the world. Of course, you're probably doing some last minute shopping. It's never done. That means I got to get started here pretty soon. I got 2 day shipping. I'm good. I'm still got plenty of time. I don't have to sweat it yet. But we're going to have a great time today. Going back to one of our series that we started probably over a year ago. We probably haven't done a show in this series for over a year, probably a couple years we started it. But it's going to be one of those trapped in series where we talk about, we're going to be trapped in fantasy land. And we're going to talk about, you know, if you had to spend an entire day in the Magic Kingdom's fantasy land, what would we do? Where would we eat? What attractions would we ride? What characters would we meet? Where would we shop? Where would we snack? And when I thought about this earlier today, so much to do in Fantasyland, you really literally could spend an entire day here and not have too many problems. So joining me today for this fun conversation, we have Ricky from DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and The Mouse for Less. What's going on, Ricky?
You know, I am actually pretty much all done Christmas shopping. Yay me. I've been really accomplished this year, I feel like. So, usually I'm like you, Mike, and struggling going, oh no, it's only like a week and a half before Christmas. But this year I'm on it and I feel awesome about myself.
I was about to say, how does that feel? Because I would have no idea. Yeah, toot your own horn there. Good stuff.
Yes.
All right. Also joining us, and I'm sure she's probably done with that gift shopping, we have Pam Forrester, co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Friday, Pam.
Happy Friday. I'm not quite done, but it's stuff that I think about a lot, you know, throughout the year. So, you know, I don't get stressed about it. I don't put anything off until I get stressed. So I think that is that's the biggest thing. You don't want the holidays to be stressful. So,
That's true.
Yes.
You know, and you know what? I am totally stressed really until, for me, it's like Christmas Eve, mid-morning is when I kind of just like, you know, all bets are off. You can't order anything else anymore on Amazon. All the stores are closed. All the restaurants are closed. And we head out to my in-laws out, and they kind of live out in the country. If you're in Missouri, it's in Moscow Mills, which is kind of a rural area of St. Louis. And, you know, the family all gathers there. All the kids are there. They have just a ridiculous amount of presents under the tree for all the kids and the big kids. And, you know, it's just like everything, you know, that's when I actually get to be like, whew, this is awesome. Because really, until then, it is kind of stressful. Because you're always thinking, I forgot somebody, or, you know, I should send a text message. Or, you know, once you get to Christmas Eve, It's smooth sailing. So I can't wait. And it's going to be here like in what, like less than 2 weeks now? What? Okay.
It's not far.
It's close.
Away.
All right. So anyway, we're gonna escape here for about 30 to 40 minutes with a fun shop.
I think we
totally need it. I'm sweating. I gotta take off my Santa hat. I'm sweating. So we're gonna be trapped in Fantasyland. So we're gonna talk about, you know, what things are there to do. I know a lot of folks are planning maybe first trips to Walt Disney World. This can be something that's like a primer for what to expect when you go to the Magic Kingdom and you go through Fantasyland. But for those folks that have been there 60, 70, 80 times, you know, just kind of getting your mind's eye there. What would you do if you were trapped there from rope drop till the park closes? You cannot leave the boundaries of Fantasyland. And yes, we are including the new Fantasyland. And yes, we are including Storybook Circus. So we have this easy peasy, baby. All right. So first thing, we go there in the morning, rope drop. We're stuck in the magic. We're like locked into Fantasyland. We're not stuck. It's been pretty much a dream of mine. But you're locked into the Magic Kingdom. Can't leave the boundaries. You know, can't go into Tomorrowland. Can't go into Liberty Square. Can't go through the castle in Main Street, USA. Pam, what do you think about when you think about we're trapped in Fantasyland, in your mind's eye, where are you standing? Because you could be standing many, many places kind of as you think about this on a Friday here.
I actually am standing behind the castle. That's the view that I have when I think about being in Fantasyland. I actually love that view of the castle. I think it's something that sometimes you don't take the time to like look at, right?
Yes.
And it's really such a different perspective, the castle, from that side. But I can see the carousel, and I really appreciate that. I like the sound coming from the carousel. I like that view. And if you look through the doorway there, the archway, sometimes you can see right down into Main Street, which I really like that view as well. So, yeah, Fantasyland.
Yeah, I think, too, you know, you mentioned kind of the backside of the castle. If you're in Fantasyland looking towards Main Street, USA, it is... it's a different kind of beauty, but it is beautiful in its own way. And the thing is, I think that, like you said, many people tend to rush through there and, you know, don't consider that's just as, you know, neat looking. I think that a lot of times it's a point A to point B kind of thing from the back to the front. Of course, everybody stops when you're going the opposite way. When you're coming from Main Street into Fantasyland through Cinderella Castle, everybody stops, takes pictures. I do it every time. I think a great picture is to kind of look up to the castle and get like a tall one, like where it, you know, like extends out into the sky. That's always a fun picture. But,
right.
You know, that's a good point there. So, Ricky, when you think of like, okay, I'm stuck in Fantasyland for the entire day, we're going to talk about this. Where are you standing in your mind's eye today?
You know, it's so crazy, but that same exact picture that Pam was talking about is exactly what was in my mind's eye of, you know, standing in Fantasyland. There's something just so special about being able to see the castle and being able to have the carousel, you know, near you, hearing the melodic tone of the carousel going. There's just something so really, really magical. I mean, it really is the Magic Kingdom right there. I mean, that's that right there. I know that so many people, like you say, think about the front half of the castle, the front part of the castle, when they think of magical, but really there is something so special about seeing the backside of the castle and hearing the music from Fantasyland. And that's it, man. That just takes you right there.
And see, when I think about being trapped in Fantasyland, like we're talking about today, like the first thing that popped into my mind's eye when I started to kind of think about this is that I'm walking in that pathway with Peter Pan on my left, Small World on my right, Pinocchio's Village House on my right, you know, PhilharMagic kind of to my left. But to me, because this is like when I first really fell in love with Walt Disney World, you know, it was the place that I just longed to be in. I still do. Like, this was the heart of the Magic Kingdom, was that walkway. Like, if you're walking towards the Haunted Mansion, towards Liberty Square, you know, towards Columbia Harbor House, that where you walk under by Memento Mori. But you're, you know, you're walking there, and there's sounds, and it's always a madhouse, really, because, you know, Peter Pan's busy, Small World's busy, strollers everywhere. Now you have the Tangled restroom area to the upper right there, if you're picturing this in your mind's eye today. It's the essence of basically now what I consider the old Fantasyland, you know, because it's those attractions that are beloved. You know, you got Peter Pan and the sounds coming from there. You can look over. And the cool thing about these attractions is, you know, that it's a lot different than most attractions at Walt Disney World is you can peek in and see the ride vehicles. You know, as you're walking by, you get to see the sailing, you know, the flying ships of Peter Pan. Of course, you see tons of people queuing up to get on that ride, and you can tell it's very busy. But also when you look into Small World, you get that glimpse of the clock and the, you know, the decorations, and you can actually peek down and see the boats. It's just, that's where I'm picturing when I'm in my mind's eye. I mean, if somebody says you're in fantasy land, that's where I am. Okay, so we're starting the day, Pam. Best bet to have a breakfast in fantasy land.
So there are lots of good choices depending on whether you want to do, I won't say lots, but whether you want to do quick service or table service or what. And I think I might, you know, if I'm spending the day there and I'm sort of trapped in Fantasyland, I think I'm going to lean towards Cinderella's Royal Table for breakfast. And the reason is that I like that experience. I think it's kind of a cool way to start the day, especially since you're going to be there all day. You're going to have plenty of time to do things. So why not start it out with a sort of magical experience? And I know that there's lots of children who, and adults as well, who really look forward to this meal. I mean, having, you know, a meal with Cinderella in her castle, of all places, is a cool thing. And they have some cool entrees to choose from. They have sort of, it's sort of a mixture of a plated meal and then some things that are served to the whole table. You get a pastry plate when you first sit down, and, you know, I mean, that's a good way to start breakfast,
yeah,
first
is.
Of all.
It's right? Over at the Ohana breakfast. I love that. Oh, man.
Right. I know. But they have a traditional breakfast. They have a caramel apple stuffed French toast. They have a quiche. They have a healthy choice. Push that aside.
Yeah, who's having that?
Who wants
whatever.
That?
You're in fantasy land, man. You don't need to worry about your health.
They have a beef tenderloin and egg, and then they have a shrimp and grits. That's actually, the healthy choice doesn't sound bad. It's oatmeal, a multigrain croissant with avocado and a poached egg with arugula. So you can have that. So all of those are pretty good. Since they have allowed the Magic Kingdom to have alcohol at the table service locations, you can get a mimosa, which would be good, or Prosecco and peach juice. Yum. So think about those things. Kids can choose from a royal children's breakfast with a waffle, sausage, and fruit, or a traditional children's breakfast with scrambled egg, bacon, and home fries, or some cereal. They also have a kid's cheese frittata. So lots of things from which to choose there. But I think it just sort of is a magical start to the day. I think it's a great way to start.
Agreed. Now I'm going the opposite direction for breakfast. I'm just going over to Gaston. And I've done this like my last two or three trips. The big old cinnamon roll at Gaston's Tavern, which Jennifer mentioned. Jennifer O'Neill in our live chat as we're recording. Man, that's just a cool place to sit down. Because when you have a cinnamon roll and like a Coke Zero, you're eating it like in 10 minutes. And it's just a cool, like, you don't want to spend a lot of time in Gaston's Tavern, but for 10 minutes, kind of look around, see the decorations. There's only probably about 10 tables. But it's a cool place to check out in New Fantasyland. So, Ricky, what would you consider for breakfast?
Well, I mean, if I'm not going for the cinnamon roll, I am
so
going
good.
For Be Our Guest. I mean, you've got the fantastic breakfast options that they have there. So it's kind of an interesting breakfast in the sense that they bring you like a basket of pastries for the table to share. And then you get to choose an entree. And they have things like the Feast a la Gaston, which is scrambled eggs and potatoes and bacon and sausage. So you got that obviously traditional kind of breakfast right there. And then you've got that kind of charcuterie board feeling with the assorted cured meats and cheeses as an option. The open face bacon and egg bag sandwich. The open face bacon and egg sandwich. And then you've got, of course, because it's a traditional French restaurant, so you've got the croque madame, which is an open faced ham sandwich with fried egg, cheese, and fresh fruit on the side. You've got the healthy option. Again, we don't really want to talk about that, but that's scrambled egg whites with roasted tomatoes and a multigrain croissant, which doesn't sound bad, but, you know, you're at the Magic Kingdom and it's breakfast time, so you're going to go all in. And by going all in, you're going to get the croissant donut for breakfast. So it's the fried donut topped with banana caramel sauce, pastry cream, and chocolate ganache. Yes, that is what you're doing. So the good thing about breakfast here is that it's kind of a set price. So it's all prefixed, and it's $25 as of right now for the breakfast options. So you kind of know where you stand. That includes a drink as well. So that part's nice too. And yeah, it's just kind of a great little breakfast option. And of course they have options for kids as well, which are delicious too, you know, French toast and crepes and things like that. So I'm surprised they actually don't have crepes on the adult menu for breakfast, because hello, that seems like that would make so much sense. But
okay,
oh well.
Okay, so
yeah, it's a French restaurant. You'd expect there to be crepes.
We've killed breakfast. Oh, now I'm starving. I need breakfast for dinner. So let me ask you this though, because we so much in Fantasyland. So let's just kind of we're in there. I'm going to ask all three of us. I'm going to ask myself first. Most underrated attraction. I'm going to go with most underrated attraction that I'd want to experience in Fantasyland. I would say Enchanted Tales of Belle. It doesn't get as much buzz as it used to. And I go past it every time. Of course, if I'm going on a solo trip like I am for Princess and for Marathon, I probably won't go to this attraction by myself. But I like, Mallory's getting older. She'll be 11 in January. So it's a little bit out of her wheelhouse now. But every time we've gone to that, it is such a unique and well done, almost like extended meet and greet with a story, with an interactive story. That I love that attraction. It's Disney at its best. So I'm going to say that's a really underrated thing in Fantasyland. Pam, what would you say? Something else maybe underrated as an attraction in Fantasyland?
So I think Mickey's PhilharMagic is sort of underrated. And the reason I say that is the last time we were there and I did it, the audience still has the same reaction. And it's one that I love to hear. At different times during the movies, they'll all go, oh, or because it's a 3D movie, when Ariel
comes out,
or when Ariel throws her gems, there's people reaching for the gems, and it's just such a cool thing. I love to see the guests sort of interact with an attraction like that. It really shows that it's sort of close to their heart and they're sort of buying into it. So I think Mickey's PhilharMagic, I remember when it first opened, but it still has a great attraction. It has some great things in it.
That's my wife's favorite. Like, we have to do that multiple times every trip. She loves that attraction. Yeah, it must be a Pam thing, I guess.
It is a Pam thing.
All right, Ricky, what did you say? What's something else that maybe, because, we have listeners that are going for the first time. We heard from a listener, Samantha, on Wednesday. She's going to be looking at all the headliners because she's been listening to the podcast, reading the books and all that stuff. But what's something you might experience in Fantasyland? Like, oh, that was cooler than I was expecting.
100%. It is the quintessential. One of the quintessential Disney attractions, and that is the Mad Tea Party. There is just something so fun about getting in those teacups, spinning around until you get sick. Me and my brother, when we get on the attraction, he says, hang on, I got this. And then he proceeds to whip us around just completely into a frenzy. So, and I'm just giggling because we're having so much fun. So, for, 30-year-olds to sit there and be giggling is a good time. So I think the whole family is going to enjoy it.
And I think, too, with Mad Tea Party, one of the underrated things, it is kind of a forgotten attraction considering it's dead in the center. It's kind of like Dumbo used to be. But you get great pictures there. I mean, like if you're looking for something that's Instagrammable, a picture on the Mad Tea Party, that's cool. And even at night, if you got a good camera, you got the right effect, you can get kind of the streaking of the lights because there's really cool lights under that big top or the whatever canopy thing. Yeah. It's kind of cool. Okay, so there's a lot to get in. So we're going to kind of be jumping all around the place. But hopefully, it's a Friday. We're having a good time. Character meet and greets. So let's talk about the opportunity to meet some of your favorite characters within the boundaries of Fantasyland. So, Ricky, what are we talking about? Who can we meet if we can't leave? Because there's actually a ton of characters you can meet in Fantasyland. So who are we meeting here?
There really are so many characters to meet in Fantasyland. And one of them that I think is, in a way, a little underrated, but always also busy as all get out, is the Merida meet and greet. It's in the Fairy Tale
Garden. I forgot about that. So, I totally forgot that.
Yes, see, exactly. I wanted to go with one that nobody thinks about. So so it's actually kind of located along the walkway. It is still considered in Fantasyland, but it's located along the walkway that's kind of near Cosmic Rays in a way. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of tucked behind Cheshire Cafe. And here you get to meet Merida in a really unique setting. She's got, a bunch of the, I know one time the brothers were, I think, featured, like, I think they had like a cart that the brothers like were on, they were as bear, you know, dressed as bears. I don't know if they do that anymore, but it's got a really unique setting. The setting actually used to be the location for where Enchanted Tales of Belle used to be a long time ago. So when Belle got her brand new location, they brought, it was the perfect time to bring in Merida. And, you know, as a sassy sort of redhead with curly hair, I love the fact that, you know, they have a Merida meet and greet at Walt Disney World.
My memory of that one is we went to that, like, the day it opened. Like, it opened over the summer while we were there one time. We waited 2.5 hours to meet Merida. Yes. And you were queued up kind of along that path up to the castle, kind of up to the smoking area back there. And, oh, it was so hot. But I remember when we went in, and I believe it's still the same case, like, they did a good job of, like, the kids could color pictures on, like, picnic tables, or they had, like, little bows and arrows, like suction cups. Of course, they weren't real, you know, Disney.
Right.
But, I mean, like, they could, you know, practice, like, little archery skills. It gave them a distraction until they got that really, you know, 2 to 3 minute, you know, experience with Merida. It wasn't just like, hey, get your picture, get out of here, kid. It was like you got to talk to her for a second, and the character for that character meet and greet was authentic. I mean, it was... Yeah. Disney did that one. They hit a home run with that one. So Pam, what else? I mean, we're looking for character meet and greets. That's really what fantasy is all about, you know, meeting these fantastical characters. So who else can we meet within the boundaries of Fantasyland?
So you can also still go into Princess Fairy Tale Hall and meet some princesses. Now, it's not quite as popular as it was when Elsa and Anna were there.
Waited forever there, too. Boy, I've waited a long time to meet some people.
Goodness. Yeah. But you can still meet some great princesses there, Cinderella or Rapunzel or whoever else may be in there. It sort of does vary sometimes from time to time, but you can do that. And the other people you can meet there, of course, are Winnie the Pooh and friends who greet over by Winnie's attraction there. And I think that those are great characters too. I think that those are kids that appeal to, you know, sometimes a younger set. And one more thing I want to mention too, in Storybook Circus, which is part of Fantasyland as well, you also have some sideshow character greetings there, where you get to meet some characters. And one of the ones that you get to meet, I believe, is Daisy. And you don't get to see Daisy very many places. So if you really want to see her, you can see her there.
And too, if you keep a heads up when you're walking around Fantasyland, now these aren't necessarily things that you're going to see all the time. Like these, the ones we've spoken to right now are pretty much like, you know, you can count on them. They happen all the time. But every once in a while, you might see Alice by the teacups. You might see Gaston back by Gaston's Tavern. I'm trying to think, you might see the stepsisters. I believe Alan mentioned that here in the live chat. You'll see them kind of pop out sometimes by like that palace wall near Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. So just keep your heads up. You know, if you were there for the entire day, chances are you might experience a character that, you weren't expecting kind of walking around.
That's true. Yeah. It's true. I actually saw the stepsisters with Cinderella. You know, at different times there. So I think that that's really cool to see too.
All right, let's talk shopping within the boundaries of Fantasyland. And of course, I think all of us are going to say probably the best store, probably in the Magic Kingdom, I would say, you know, any of the lands, is Big Top Treats, you know, back in Storybook Circus. So Ricky, talk to us about this store. What, because I think we all agree this is kind of a special place to go. It's a not-miss place to go. But why is it so special? What does it have?
Everything you possibly could ever want. I mean, seriously, there are things for all age ranges. This is kind of the biggest store in the Magic Kingdom besides the Emporium. So if you're looking for something kind of unique that they maybe don't have in the Emporium, this is going to be a good place to go. They have a lot of the limited edition merchandise for like the party nights and things like that too. So if you're ever like looking for something that is a party exclusive thing, this is where you want to go, because you know the Emporium is always so busy. Plus, in addition to having just everything under the sun Disney merchandise, they also have a fantastic snack confectionery area. Oh my goodness, this thing is stocked. I mean, if you are looking for something sweet, they have it. They have the caramel apples, they have the marshmallow ones, they have the cake pops, they have, you know, everything you possibly could want here. The giant cookies, I mean, everything. So If you have a sweet tooth, and I think they have the glacial ices too here. I don't get those, but I think that they're there as well. So honestly, this place is, I could spend all day in this store.
What it is, it's like a, it's
there's
a,
so much here. I mean, there's so much in the store.
It's almost like an annex to the confectionery, because it's like, you know, the confectionery is up at the very beginning of the park, you know, up on Main Street USA as you right enter the park. So you might want to go there on the way out. But man, it's it that confectionery with the open kitchen back in Storybook Circus, Big Top Treats is awesome. I mean, Pam, is this? It's always a destination for me. Like, if we don't get back there to get a snack or just a kind of, it's a good place to cool off too in the summertime. But what do you think about that place?
It is. It's a fun place to be, and it really does just have a little bit of everything, really and truly it does. There's all kinds of souvenirs there, and then it's like the little snacks as well. It's almost like a smaller Goofy's Kitchen, but not really that much smaller when you think about it. Maybe the menu is a little bit smaller, but they have lots of things that they're making right there, and we love that too. I think it's a great place to shop.
So I'm trying to think of the smaller places to shop within Fantasyland. So you have a store outside of Mickey's PhilharMagic that has a lot of, I believe it still has like a lot of Donald Duck type stuff, as I recall. So you got some things there. Is Sir Mickey still there? I haven't been in that store in ages. Is this still there?
Yep.
Yes, and then the shop by over by Pooh as well.
Yes.
By the exit of the poo, you know, where the poo.
By the exit where the poo is, yes.
Let's make sure we don't sample that piece. Okay. No, but I mean, so Sir Mickey's, I believe it used to be kind of like more mostly like a hat shop, but now it's kind of just general merchandise, right?
Yeah, it is. Last time I was near there, they were working on that too, I think, with Sir Mickey's over there.
Yeah.
Else is there?
I'm trying to think if it's any of the shopping. I think that might be it. Is there
there's a thing over by Bell.
Yes, there's a lot of VR guest stuff there. So,
so where's that by Enchanted Tales?
Yeah, there's a shop by Enchanted Tales that Bella has a lot of Beauty and the Beast merchandise.
Yeah,
how have I missed that? I don't think I've ever gone in there. See, I love this about Walt Disney World.
It's on the other side. So if you're looking at Gaston's Tavern, it's right on the right hand side.
You know what? Here's a question I have for you. Let me ask Ricky. How many people do you think actually go back into Gaston's Tavern, like a percentage of guests? I would say maybe less than 5%. Because it's
like
kind of set
Gaston's
so far
Tavern?
Back. I know you're kind of talking about like where the cart is for Belle's dad's, the popcorn cart, kind of back in that area.
Yeah, you know where the Gaston, like the statue is? It's right. It's to the right of that. There's the shop there.
Yeah, but I mean, what I'm saying though at this point is like it's recessed so back off the main path.
Yeah.
Do you think many people go back there? Because I think most people tend to just kind of follow the path.
I mean, you have to go back there if you want to go ride, you know, a Little Mermaid too. So I think that it gets more people than you think it does. But I think that a lot of people do miss it because they don't know that they can go back beyond, you know, the castle walls, like Disney has, you know, the castle walls of the forecourt. So I don't know that people know, a lot of people know that they can go back there, but I think a fair number do end up getting back there.
All right, so we're grabbing lunch. It's lunchtime now. We've kind of talked about things to do within Fantasyland, but we need to get a quick lunch. We don't need to go like into detail with all the menus, but Pinocchio's Village House, it's trending up, right? I mean, 5 years ago, it was kind of a nightmare. I would say a lot of people try to avoid Pinocchio's, but maybe, Pam, do you think it's getting better? Have you been there lately? I haven't been there in a while.
I haven't been there lately. And I don't love I realize that it's an Italian-themed restaurant for Pinocchio, which is where the story came from. But I don't love like getting things like chicken parmesan and spaghetti at a quick service location. It's just not my favorite.
You know what? One of my favorite places to eat in St. Louis is Fazoli's, and it's kind of the same thing. It's just more expensive.
That's true.
If I'm getting either of those dishes, I want them to be at a truly authentic Italian restaurant and not at quick service. So, you know, it's not my favorite, but I will say that they do have flatbreads. They do have a salad that I know I've gotten there. And the cool thing about Pinocchio's is there are a few tables, probably only four or so, that have windows that sort of look over the Small World attraction. And that's kind of a cool thing to be a part of.
Yeah, that's actually, I do want to have a lunch there over Marathon weekend and kind of look down and just chill and enjoy it. You know, take in the atmosphere, because I think that that place, what it lacks maybe in food quality might make up in just Disney overall atmosphere. That's kind of how I see it. I mean, again, that's one of those things that I remember like 15 years ago, I read in a guidebook, like, you know, hot tip. You know, eat at Pinocchio's Village House and wave to the boats on Small World. That's probably in a Birnbaum guide somewhere. It's probably why I like it.
It was absolutely the Birnbaum guide. Yeah.
That's it. I still want to live the 15-year-old, you know, a long time ago hot tip. That's it. So, Ricky, where else can we have a lunch within Fantasyland?
I mean, it's kind of, you are at, you know, the Magic Kingdom, right? You're on vacation. So you might as well, again, splurge, right? So just like you're going to get the croissant donut for breakfast, you're going to go to Friar's Nook, yes, and you're going to get their tachos, basically. Yes. They're not called tachos there, but they have lots of different options of tater tots. And they have loaded buffalo chicken tots and fiesta tots and pub tots and brats and tots. And I'm all in from the tots.
It's like what you would order at Jack in the Box at 2:30 in the morning on a Saturday night.
Exactly. except for mine, maybe won't give you heartburn, so I don't know, maybe it will. But I mean, these sound absolutely fantastic. There's so many choices. And it's a meal in one, so I'm going all in on the tots at Friar's Nook.
Okay, so that's good. All right, so let's talk about this. As it starts to get dark at the Magic Kingdom, you know, we're stuck in Fantasyland. Do we all agree one of the best places to be at night, Fantasyland?
Yeah.
It's awesome. So the good thing is you can see the fireworks. Now, the thing is, if you want to watch the fireworks, especially with Happily Ever After now, and this was different 10 years ago, you know, if you're watching Wishes, wasn't that big a deal. But you can still see really cool fireworks within Fantasyland. You're seeing it from the backside of the castle. Now, they do close off that area up by PhilharMagic and the carousel, and it makes it kind of a traffic nightmare during fireworks. But fireworks, nonetheless, you get to see. You just don't see the projection. So, Pam, what would you say to folks that maybe want to stake out a place? Not good for a first-timer, right? But maybe for somebody that's just trying to do some flyby fireworks.
Yeah, I agree. One of the places that we've actually kind of liked watching them is back where we can see Belle's castle, well, the Beast castle, which I guess he shares with Belle at this point.
Yeah, I guess
point.
In the end, yeah.
I don't
yeah.
know.
It's co-ownership. Yeah, sure. Exactly.
But anyways, because you can catch some of the fireworks sort of there with Belle's castle, and I think that's kind of a unique perspective as well. Now, some of the fireworks are actually in front of you at that point, but that's kind of a cool view as well. I really like seeing it from back there.
Yeah, I agree. So, Ricky, have you seen the, because I know you're not somebody that usually stops and kind of, you know, stakes out a spot for an hour, but have you, because I've seen them in fans. The one thing you got to watch is, like, you got to kind of go look left, look right, because some of them are going off, like, it feels like off the Small World building. Some of them are going off, you know, the PhilharMagic building. Like, you're not, you know, it's not like you're standing on Main Street and everything's like in front of you and you see it everywhere. You know, you got to kind of twist your head.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I mean, right there in the middle of Fantasyland, I think, you know, I typically, if I'm catching it, I'm catching it like over the carousel. It was usually where I'm ended up, you know, watching kind of on the way toward Peter Pan, and It's a Small World, you know, right there in that walkway is usually where I'm catching it. So, you know, it's a good spot to view it, I think, because you've got the carousel there. So it's a kind of unique position.
It is.
To see it.
And you know what? We've gotten 30 minutes into the show, and this is what I can't believe, like, all three of us, we've gotten 30 minutes into the show. What's the one attraction in Fantasyland that we still have not mentioned? Think about
Seven
it.
Seven Dwarfs.
That and
Seven Dwarfs.
Well,
yeah.
Okay, because that's probably your best for a thrill. If you want to have a thrill in Fantasyland, Seven Dwarfs is where you're going. And it is. It's great because it's a combo dark ride kind of situation and a roller coaster, mild roller coaster. I think it's good for everybody. But the one thing I was thinking of is Dumbo. Think about a decade ago. You know, even touring plans had a plan that was called Dumbo or Die, because it was so hard to get on that attraction. If you didn't get there right at rope drop and, you know, run back there and get on it. Ricky, with Dumbo now, of course, now we got the dueling Dumbos. You got two, you got one for fast pass, one for standby. This attraction is 100 times better than it was a decade ago. Better location. It looks beautiful at night. There's two of them. You don't wait as long. You got the queue where the kids can play until it's your time. You get buzzed, boom, you get on the ride. I mean, this thing's, it's 1,000 times better experience for the guests, yet it's so less popular now. What's the rationale there?
Well, I think because it has the dueling Dumbos, there's more people who can actually get on the attraction. So because of that, the wait times, I don't think, are as high. Also, you know, it's not right there in the middle of Fantasyland where everybody's walking past it. So you do have, you know, it is a little more off to the side in Storybook Circus. So you do not only have to, you know, get into Storybook Circus and walk past it, but then it's not in the forefront of everybody's mind because they're not walking past it constantly. So I think that has something to do with it as well. You really have to kind of seek out Dumbo instead of Dumbo seeking you out, which is, I think, what used to happen.
Well, that is true. I mean, Pam, what do you think? I mean, was it like in the old days, it was location, location, location? I mean, has the theme park guest, you know, kind of changed what their expectation is in attraction, where this basically is a spinner, but I mean, it was like it was the picture you wanted to have from your vacation. Because the new ride is so much better. It's beautiful. It's so much. But I mean, it doesn't have the location it used to have.
It doesn't. And the fact that there are two of them now, I think it's just really decreased the time it takes for loading. You know, there really is something to be said with when you roll up on something and you see a bunch of people in line, you think to yourself, wow, I want to experience that. And at that time, there wasn't something like FastPass. So you got in line. You did. And I think, too, Disney's done a really good job of having other attractions and shows and things that appeal to toddlers or younger age children, which is what Dumbo really appealed to, right? It really appealed to younger kids. And there are so many things that just are there now that weren't there before.
So a couple things we haven't talked about here as we're kind of getting to the end of the show. We haven't talked about Little Mermaid, which is in New Fantasyland. And Ricky, why is it that we've gotten this far and not talked about that attraction? We haven't talked about Barnstormer.
You know, I think that those aren't necessarily headliners anymore. I mean, as we kind of talked about on Wednesday's podcast, where, you know, somebody was talking about making fast passes. And that rolling fast pass, whenever I go to the Magic Kingdom, I can almost always get a rolling fast pass for Little Mermaid or Barnstormer. You know, I just think that, well, especially with Little Mermaid, you know, it really does eat people because it is an omnimover. So I think that it takes up people very well. And, you know, Barnstormer, I mean, it's kind of got a set age range. I mean, yeah, you can ride it as an adult, but it really is like a 30-second ride. So,
I feel,
you know,
like,
the appeal
I feel
of
like
riding
a
30-second ride.
Yeah, that thing fits me like a glove being 6'3". Like,
yeah, exactly. So it's a little more difficult, but, you know, I think that... that's why I think, you know, they're two very different attractions. And I think that that's probably why they're not as talked about. They're both very good. But, you know, they're just not those headliner things, I don't think, anymore.
Yeah, they're kind of like both of those are like, you know, you got to have like secondary attractions, you know, that you're doing. Mm-hmm. While, and the thing is, like, you can walk up to those, like you said. So that's good to think about. So, Pam, as we kind of get close to wrapping this one up, for somebody that's going to Fantasyland that doesn't have a lot of experience with everything that it has to offer, because it's got good dining, it's got good shopping, it's got great snacking, it's got characters. I mean, it really does have, you know, you go to Walt Disney World for a lot of, you know, you're checking off a lot of things you're looking forward to. Fantasyland really, within its boundaries, has really everything you're looking for in this one land. But give somebody some tips. You know, what do you not need to miss? Because we haven't talked about things like, really, we didn't spend much time with Small World or Peter Pan. You know, touring strategies. What do you have for somebody to get the most out of a little period of time in Fantasyland?
So for me, I think that there is just something about Peter Pan that just, you know, really pulls at the nostalgic strings in your heart. I remember doing it as a child and absolutely believing that we were flying.
Yes.
I mean, I just did. The line for Peter Pan is still awesomely long at most times of the day. So try to do that either first thing in the morning or during a time when, let's say, there's the fireworks or the parade that's drawing some people out of that area. I think that there are lots of good little snacking opportunities in Fantasyland. You know, you have the storybook treats, and you also have the Friar's Nook, and there's some locations that just have some interesting snacks, like the Cheshire Cat. I know that the cattail sort of snack, which is wildly popular. People love that. But there's just some cute little things that you can only get, you know, sort of in Fantasyland. That's not really something that's offered in a bunch of different locations. And of course, we talked about, you know, different tot offerings are there too. So consider that. I think be prepared for, there are little narrow sort of throughways in Fantasyland that make it challenging at times. And you just have to sort of pack a little patience, right, when you're in Fantasyland. There's a lot of parents, there's a lot of kids, there's a lot of people who may be overtired, overheated, whatnot, and just let all that kind of roll off your back because it really is so charming. And the other thing about Fantasyland that I think is something that you're going to want to note is that Fantasyland absolutely has two of the best bathrooms in the Magic Kingdom.
Yes.
The Tangled bathroom and the bathroom back by Be Our Guest are both new. They're large, and it's just, you know, there's no other way to say it other than this is where I choose to use the restroom is in Fantasyland when I'm there because I like the bathrooms there.
Hey, if you're going to be trapped in Fantasyland, you got to go, you know.
That's right.
I'm just saying.
Right.
Got to take care of
all day.
Got to take care of everything. So, Ricky, here's what my tips. If I'm going to give a couple tips on Fantasyland, it's best experience first thing in the morning or later in the evening between like 10 and 3. It's kind of a nightmare a lot of times. It's really, especially in the summer, it can get really bogged down and kids are cranky. And I mean, that face, that's where all the little kids are going to be. I mean, just, I mean, that's just where they are because they can ride all those attractions. And there's not a lot of shade there. So you got to kind of, you know, get inside every once in a while. It can get kind of hot back there in the summer. So your final tips for experiencing Fantasyland.
I mean, Fantasyland, as we've kind of shared, really does have something for everyone. And yes, even the kid at heart, even, you know, the, you know, a huge Uber person who thinks I'm not excited to go to Walt Disney World. There's something there.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, it's why
smile
you,
on their face.
Well, Fantasyland is why you go to Walt Disney World. I mean, it really, truly
exactly.
is.
Exactly. It 100% is. So, you know, again, like you said, there are times where you definitely need to pack your patience when visiting Fantasyland. But there are some great, like, hidden surprises all around the land. It's absolutely beautiful, especially once you get to the new areas, the Enchanted Forest area, and, of course, the Storybook Circus area. Also, if you've got little ones, the Storybook Circus area is so fantastic because they do have the play area back there. Do make sure you bring some sort of change of clothes because it's a water play area and they will get drenched. You may also want to watch out for yourself if you have to run in there
to get the little one
because you will get drenched too.
So. It's like the old American Gladiators. You got to time it just right so Zap doesn't get you with the tennis ball gun. You know, it's kind of like that.
Exactly. And I mean, you're 100% right on that. So, you know, there really is something. And of course, there's one other thing we didn't discuss too, and that's the train. You can pick up the train here in Storybook Circus. So if you are wanting to take that mode of transportation, there is a station here as well.
All right. Can't ride it right now, but you could be listening to the show 10 years from now and you probably ride the train again. So. Just so
that's right. Yes.
All right. Well, we hope that, you know, today we try to be like Disney. It's try to be a little bit educational, maybe to help you plan a little bit better strategy for your time in Fantasyland. But, you know, maybe you're out on a long training run here for Princess or Marathon weekend as you're wrapping up your training cycle. And, you know, hey, maybe we just got 2 or 3 miles behind you just thinking about your favorite place. So that's kind of a goal, too. Maybe it got you to work or got you through power grading some papers or your final studying here for finals. So that's the goal. And we appreciate you spending the time with us. So thank you so much for joining us. Today's show, of course, brought to you by our friends over at the Magic for Less Travel. You know, when it comes time for that next trip to a Disney destination, and you've got, you know, lots of places you could go. Of course, Walt Disney World, Disneyland. But, you know, maybe in 2019, think outside the box and maybe expand your horizons with a Disney cruise or even, you know, see some of the world the best way possible with an Adventures by Disney, because they're going to let you have access to things that you are not going to get otherwise. First class service. I mean, you want to travel like a rock star. That's Adventures by Disney. So what I'm going to ask you to do today is drop by themagicforless.com. Check out all the great specials, all the details, all the destinations. It's all there. There's menus, there's pictures, there's photos of the resorts. There's everything you need to kind of get everything rolling. And then once you kind of just get an idea of what you might want to do here moving into 2019, fill out that free, no obligation quote form. Let them know you heard about them here on the Be Our Guest podcast. An agent will get back to you right away. And let's run some numbers, some availability. And that's where the conversation starts. The relationship gets formed. And then you're planning a great vacation. No cost to you. Disney pays the agents, not you. So you're in good shape. So check them out today over at themagicforless.com. And don't forget, please support the show through our Amazon affiliate link as you do that holiday shopping. We truly, truly appreciate that. It's beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon. And we appreciate when you give us a follow on the social media. We want to hear from you. What would you do in Fantasyland? Give us a holler on Twitter and Instagram at BeOurGuestPod and at BeOurGuestMike. And, of course, drop by the Facebook group at Facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. All right, time to get out of here and let you get on with a fun weekend. We're going to have a good one, and it's going to be a lot of fun. So for Ricky and Pam, I'm Mike, wishing you an awesome weekend. But whatever you do, stay safe, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.